Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This evening I'm going to be ministering to you a word that has been in my spirit for a while now. And in fact, I kind of feel like it's been building towards this word. And sorry. It's like I've been ministering on the kingdom for many years, and it's just sort of come together for me in a way that I believe is very powerful, very profound, and very exciting at the same time. And this evening, I really want to dig deeper. How many of you here know the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hands. Isn't the Holy Spirit just so wonderful? Isn't the Holy Spirit just so awesome? If you've met Him, He's the part of God that's here right now. You know, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the Bible. And the Father's on the throne. But the Holy Spirit is here now. He's here. He's in the room right now. He's with us. He talks to you. He teaches you things. He shows you things. But this evening, I want to talk to you about the signs of the kingdom of God. The signs of the kingdom. And let's go straight to Mark 16, verse number 14. Mark 16, verse number 14. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I want to stop right there, because we're going to get into this evening. And before we do that, I want to see Jesus appears to his 11. He sits with them, and one of the first thing he does is he rebukes them. And he rebukes them for two things. There are two things that he addresses them with immediately. The first thing is, the Bible says that he rebuked them because of their unbelief. So after Jesus had risen, he'd appeared to several people, and the report had come to them, but they didn't believe it. Even though he had prepared them and told them that this was going to happen, that he would rise on the third day. Remember, he told them. He told them it would take place, but those that came and told him, they didn't believe him. These own disciples didn't believe him. What I want to tell you this evening is that one of the things that will hinder your relationship with God, especially with the Holy Spirit, is unbelief. Unbelief is like one of the most horrible things. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, because the opposite of faith is unbelief. So if you don't believe, you don't have faith. And so Jesus immediately rebukes the disciples, because he's basically saying to them, listen, I've been with you. I told you this was going to happen. And he rebukes them because of that unbelief. So I want you to recognize that one of the things that will hinder you from moving forward with God is unbelief. I remember, if you study scripture, you'll see as well that when the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a child, and when Jesus had brought the child to Jesus and he cast the demon out of them, they asked him, why were we not able to cast out this demon? He said, because of your unbelief. And he actually addresses cities, and he begins to rebuke all the cities around the Sea of Galilee. And he basically says, you know, if people see what you've seen, they would believe. But you don't believe, even though you have seen these incredible things that I've done. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he was saying. The second thing that he rebuked them for was their hardness of heart. Their hardness of heart. Now, hardness of heart can happen to any one of us. And in fact, I would say that on your journey with God, you will experience a hardening of your heart at some point. It'll be one of the things that you'll have to go through. And the reason why it happens is because a lot of us will experience some form of disappointment on our journey. And oftentimes that disappointment comes from a person, a pastor, a leader, someone that you look up to. The good thing about that disappointment is that it'll hopefully teach you to not look at man, but rather to look at God. Because man will always disappoint you. You know, we talk about familiarity in the body of Christ. And when you get very close to your leader, you'll become familiar with him. And the reason why is because you'll see his weaknesses. And if you become familiar, it's your own fault, because basically it's you that's put him on the pedestal. And you should always recognize that it's never the man, it's the gift, or it's God. You know, the gift inside the man is the Spirit of God. Amen. And we'll get into that this evening. I wanted to say this morning again. Can you believe that? So oftentimes disappointment is one of the key things that causes us to harden our hearts. And, you know, I've experienced this. I mean, I really have several times. Even recently, I had a major disappointment in the ministry with someone that I love so much, and had to walk a road and see this whole thing play out. And it was so difficult to protect my heart from becoming hard. It was so difficult. It's really one of the challenges that you'll have. Now, can you imagine the disciples? Jesus has died. They're a little disappointed. So their hearts have become a little hard. Their faith has wavered quite a bit. And so they're in that place. And Jesus makes this amazing statement. He says to them, he says in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now it's really important at this point that we understand which gospel he's speaking about. Because the word gospel really means good news. So he wants you to take the good news. He wants you to go and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. But we need to look at what gospel did Jesus preach, because that will help us to understand exactly what he's talking about here. And what it is when Jesus preached, he would preach the gospel of the kingdom. Listen to me. He did not preach a gospel of salvation. He preached a gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel that he preached. Let me show you, because I can tell it's a problem. Mark 1, verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. But the gospel that he was preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what we need to recognize is that Jesus is saying, when he would preach, he would go out and he would say this. And there's two different translations. The one says the kingdom of God is at hand. The other translation says the kingdom of God has come near to you. So Jesus would go out and he would preach this gospel of the kingdom. And he would say, the gospel of the kingdom has come near to you. The gospel of the kingdom is at hand. And people would look at him and think, what on earth are you talking about? Do we understand what that really means? The fact is that while he began to preach this gospel, there was one thing that would take place. There would be, clearly throughout Scripture, we see there would be repentance. People would repent. Immediately people would repent. But every time he went and he preached this gospel of the kingdom, something would happen. Let's take a look. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, watch this, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torment, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So the gospel of the kingdom, which is the gospel that Jesus preaches, what is it? What is this gospel of the kingdom? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 20, it says this, for the gospel of the kingdom is not in word. Put it up for me, please. You need to be quick. 1 Corinthians 4:20, especially tonight. Quickly! First Corinthians 4:20. Yo, when you want them to be quick, they're like slow, but there's probably a problem with the computer. I forgive you. I still love you, but please put it up for me. There it is. Amen. Let's give them a big round of applause. Amen. Thank you, guys. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So Jesus goes out preaching this gospel of the kingdom, and every time he goes out, his message is the kingdom of God has come near to you. He says, and while he does this, he begins to pray for the sick. He begins to lay hands on the sick. He begins to speak to people's lives, and their lives get delivered and their lives get changed. People start to encounter this gospel of the kingdom. It's not in word, it's in power. Can you see it? That's what the Bible says. So it's not what Jesus said only that brought change. It was also what he did that brought change. Now, I can tell you something. Listen, I have been in a room before, in conversations where you speak and the Holy Spirit is so in it. It's like the power of God is so present, and there's no laying on of hands and casting out demons and praying for sick or anything like that. It's just talking. But the Spirit of God is so strong in that room. So even when your words go out, they do have power. So even in speaking, there can be power present. But what you need to take note of is that what brings the change, or where the gospel of this kingdom is manifest, is when power is present. I need you to see that. Amen? And there's no doubt that while Jesus walked on this earth, that presence of the kingdom, that power was present everywhere he went. Can we all agree with that? Amen. All right, I'm going to get to the point in just a minute. Now, the Bible says this, but seek first in Matthew 6:33. Let's go there. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Now, when we read that scripture, it talks about how he will provide for the grass and for the lilies, and he's going to provide for you. But the thing you need to seek for first is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything you need will be given to you. Everything you need will be added to you. The problem with us is that immediately when we read that, we think about our new car. We think about how, you know, we're going to have lots of food. And I think in part that could be true in some part. I think that God will provide for you in the natural as well. But I want to show you that I don't believe for one second that what he's really referring to there is actually things that are tangible to touch. Because the Bible says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now this is powerful. So we know the kingdom of God is in power, not in word. It's not in eating and drinking. In other words, the things that we need naturally, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And there's a very important part at the end, in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think back just for a moment. When Jesus came to the earth, he preached and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Or the kingdom of God has come near to you, depending on what Bible you have. But basically what he was saying is it's right here. Why was it right there? Why was it at hand? Because he was here. So wherever he went, you could reach out and almost touch it. Because wherever he went, he would display, demonstrate, preach, teach, and basically just pour out the kingdom of God. it was at hand. Wherever Jesus went, the gospel of the kingdom was released through him. Let me quickly read a scripture. Keep that scripture somewhere nearby, guys. Luke 17:20. Luke 17:20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees, try and stay with me, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will you say, see here or see there. Now watch, for the kingdom of God is where? Now it doesn't matter what translation you read, I can tell you now, in the original language, it says within you. Okay, it says within you. This is now talking about the kingdom of God with you, within you. Jesus came, and while Jesus was here, the kingdom was near. It was here. It was at hand. He was busy moving. And wherever he would go, he would minister, and he would touch people, and they would get delivered, and they would get healed, and they would get saved, and they would encounter his presence, and they would be transformed, and people's lives would just completely changed. Then the people say, listen, where is this kingdom? What are you talking about? He says, listen, the kingdom of God is within you. Now go back to the last scripture for me in Matthew, please, guys. Okay. Romans, good job. Sorry, I was wrong. You guys are sharp. Good job. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where? Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside you. So in order for the kingdom to be manifest now, he's no longer at hand. He's within. He's within who? He's within us. In other words, in order for the gospel of the kingdom to be preached and taught and manifest on this earth, it has to be done through you and I. And we can do it because the kingdom's no longer at hand. It's now within you. The Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of you. Is this okay? Is this not too difficult to understand? Okay, so let's go back to our scripture in Matthew. Mark 16, and we'll pick it up. Sorry, I have a lot of scripture here tonight. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Can we agree? Yes. That's the gospel that Jesus preached, right? Yes. Go and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature. Next verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. We understand. This is talking about salvation. This is talking about the new birth. Now watch what he says. And these signs will follow those who believe. Take it away for just a minute. These signs will follow those who believe. What signs? The signs of the kingdom. The signs of the kingdom. Where do they come from? Within you. How come? In the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God will be manifest through you if you believe. You have to believe. You have to believe and you have to desire it. Now, what are the signs of the kingdom? We know the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We know the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace. In the Holy Spirit. So in other words, true transformation in a person's life where we see the kingdom of God has been manifest will only take place when true peace comes, when true joy comes, or when there's a sign that comes where there's an encounter with God. A healing, a deliverance, something like that. Now Jesus is saying, listen, these signs will follow those who believe. If you're going to go out and preach this gospel of the kingdom, these are the signs. These are the signs of the kingdom that you will see take place. Let's take a look at them. Are you all okay? In my name, they will cast out demons. The first sign that was evident, no question, when Jesus was ministering on this earth, was when he would minister, demons would be cast out. Everywhere he went, he would heal the sick and cast out demons. And often the two would even be related. But more than not, you'll see in Scripture where healing takes place and people's lives get touched, the demons are being cast out as well. Luke 11 verse 20 says this, watch. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, look at this, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. What's a sign of the kingdom of God? The finger of God, which is deliverance. There was no deliverance before Jesus. Are you guys with me? If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay. Let's go back to our verse in Mark. Please. There we go. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. What's the next sign? They will speak with new tongues. Okay. All right, this is a tough one, I understand. Let's take a look at it. They will speak with new tongues. Let's go back to the Old Testament and see what it has to say about tongues. What you need to remember, church, is that the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it does something. It brings righteousness, it brings joy, it brings peace, real joy, not happiness, real joy. Okay, take a look. Let's go to Isaiah 28, verse number 11. Isaiah 28, verse number 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to this people. Now look at this. To whom he said, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. With stammering lips and an unknown tongue, I will speak to this people. What will this do for them? It will give them rest. It will give them refreshing. It will bring you joy. It will bring you peace. Tongues is a sign of the kingdom. Let me show you in the New Testament. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. What I need you to see and what I need you to grasp, coming through from this morning's sermon, you need to see this. The first thing you need to see is that tongues is a sign. It's a sign of the kingdom. Prophesying is a sign of the kingdom. But what does the Bible say about both these two things? In 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1, it says this. Put it up for me real quick, please, guys. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1. Pursue love, but desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So he says something very important. He says, desire spiritual gifts. And in fact, the word gifts that I've taught you is not in the original language. It's italicized in your Bible. So it says desire to be spiritual. Then he goes on to this conversation about two things, tongues and prophecy. Take a look. But especially that you may prophesy. Look, next verse. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So immediately we see he begins this go back and forth between tongues and prophecy. Two things, two gifts, two signs of the kingdom. One for you. One that brings you peace, then one that brings you refreshing, one that will increase your relationship with God, that one that will bring you closer to the Lord. And the other one is prophecy, which is not for you, but for your brother. Two signs of the kingdom. But watch this now. This morning I showed you that we should not despise prophecy, but the Bible actually says that we should desire it. Do you know how many times I pray for people to receive tongues? And one will be like this. Please, help me. Help. Now, I'm not mocking. The other will be like this. Please, Father, I'm desperate. I desire the spiritual gifts. I desire your spirit. I desire the gift of the Holy Spirit that you promised. I desire it. Now, I'm not saying this is what they do speaking. I'm saying inside their heart. One has a desire. The other just is kind of like, I think this is true. I'm not really sure. Let's see if it happens or not. You know, the one is like, I'm convinced. I don't need anything more. I know your word is true. Why are you convinced? Because the Bible says so. Because the word of God says so. If he says the gift is for me, then the gift is for me. But in order to get it, you have to desire it. There has to be a desire in your heart. Otherwise, you will not get it. It's not here. Tongues, prophecy, these gifts will not work with your mind. Because they are spiritual gifts. The only place in you that will understand it is your spirit. And most of us don't even hear our spirit. Can't discern our spirit, the Holy Spirit, my voice, my mind, the devil, we struggle. It's spiritually discerned. How do you know that you are saved? How do you know this? Because the Bible says that if you believe and you confess that you will be saved. You're happy to accept that, but it says that if you believe that he'll send his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit will come upon you and that you can also speak in tongues, that you can also prophesy, that these things are for you. Listen, I can tell you right now, is there anybody out there that's excited? Is there anybody out there that believes this is for them? Is there anybody that believes? Is there anybody that desires it? Is there anybody that wants it? You have to desire it. The sermon on speaking in tongues was really good. I think I'm gonna go. You know, and then they come, and most of the time they're so nervous for what I don't know. The Bible says, "Well, you don't have to be nervous. If there's a devil hanging around, he's gonna get nervous. Oh yes, oh yes, they get nervous. Oh, they'd be nervous." They get very nervous. Or they don't like tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, go study it. They don't like what happens to us when we get filled with the Spirit. If they had known what would have happened when they crucified the Lord of glory, they would never have done it. The devil didn't know that when he crucified the Christ, that when he looks at you, he'll see Jesus. When he looks at you, he'll see Jesus. When he looks at you, he'll see Jesus. He didn't know. He didn't know that that same spirit that was in the Christ would be given to every single one of you. And if he had known, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. It's a sign of the kingdom. Okay. I don't want to talk about tongues. Let's talk about something else. All right. if you desire the spiritual things of God, if you begin to desire it, that's when you get it. It's not heady. It's not in your head. It comes from inside you. It's a desperation. It comes from your heart. Let's go on. Let's take a look. Verse number 18 of Mark chapter number. You guys have got it. Put it up for me, please. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Let's stop with that. This does not mean that we take up snakes and dance around snakes. I don't want to get into a whole big thing about this, but what it means is in the Bible, when Paul was around a fire and a snake jumped out and bit him, it was a sign. What was it a sign of? It was a sign that the kingdom of God was with him. It was a sign that the Holy Spirit was with him. Why? Because nothing happened to him. And the people were so amazed that they actually bowed down and worshipped him, because they knew if that snake bites you, brother, you die. But he didn't die. Same thing, if you drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt you. In other words, when the signs of the kingdom are in operation and you're busy moving with God, he will cover you, he will protect you from the plans of the enemy. Listen, I've had so many letters sent to me about what they're going to do to me, what they're going to do to my wife and my children. And you know what we do? The first time it happened a few months ago, I got a really, really bad one. And I thought to myself, you know I don't really need to be afraid, you know, but, you know, it's just not nice, you know. And I made the mistake of phoning my pastor. And he was like, "What the heck is wrong with you? Nothing can touch you. The devil cannot touch you. He cannot harm you. He cannot curse what God has blessed. He cannot do it. He can threaten, he can bark, but he cannot do it." You cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot. I talked about this, Balak and Balaam. Go study it. They tried, Balaam tried hard to curse the children of Israel, and God said, "No ways. I've blessed them." When they disobeyed, they got into trouble. But that was their fault. It had nothing to do with what the devil wanted to do. Does it make sense, guys? So a sign of the kingdom is that God will protect you from the things that the enemy tries to bring against you. Next thing. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We have to change our minds. We have to expect that when we lay hands on someone for healing, we have to expect that God still heals. We have to expect that that person's body can be healed, because the blood of Jesus has been spilt. There is sozo. There is salvation. That salvation includes healing of the body. That salvation includes restoration. That salvation includes deliverance. Healing of the body is part of it. God still heals the body now. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. The other morning, my son woke up. He was screaming in pain. He was screaming in pain. And I put my hand on his stomach and I just said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, this thing does not belong in my son." It wasn't seconds later that he was completely fine. My wife thinks it was the soup. No. It wasn't the soup. It had nothing to do with soup. Let me tell you something. You ask her. She says boys are just big babies, you know. When I put my hand on his tummy, I believed. Now, there are times where God doesn't heal. Why? I don't know why. We don't have all the answers, but I know that his word says that he heals the sick and that they will recover. But we don't even believe in the basics. It's time for us as the church to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. That gospel is where? Now. If that gospel is righteousness, joy, and peace, you need to know, first of all, that your righteousness has already been paid for. There is no other religion that makes you righteous. You have to do all kinds of stuff, and maybe somehow they convince you that you might get somewhere. Our religion, what we believe, is that it's already been paid for. The only way that will become a reality to you is when you get to learn who the Holy Spirit is and you begin to have a relationship with Him, because He is the one who will reveal Jesus to you like never before. I've been a pastor for many years. The revelation I have of the cross that I got this year, I've never had before. This year, I've been in ministry and around ministry for over 20 years. This year, it became such a reality to me. The power of the cross and what took place on that cross. And then what took place when He rose from the grave. And when His Spirit was sent out, and we now have His Spirit living inside of us. It is unbelievable what is possible. The only problem is not inside, it's on top. It's our minds. How many of you in this place want to walk with the signs of the kingdom manifesting in your life? Amen. Verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. You see, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And they went out and preached everywhere. Watch this now. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. We do not seek after signs. We seek the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, what things? The signs and everything you need will follow you. They will just follow you. You won't have to seek them. They'll become a part of your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you see how it all fits together, guys? Isn't that so powerful? Can we stand for just a moment? Father, tonight in this place, we are gathered together in Your name. And we are so thankful, most of all, that You've given us eternal life. But Father, how can it be that we believe that that's all there is? When You said to Your disciples, go into all the earth and preach the gospel. And You said in Your word that these signs would follow us. You said in Your word that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things that we need. Not that we necessarily want, but what we really need will be given to us. What every one of us really needs is to know that we have been made righteous, is to know that we can have real joy, and that in Your Spirit we have peace. All the other stuff, You know what we need. You'll take care of us. But most importantly, every one of us needs to know, Father, that you are with us. And we know that you are because of what your word says. Because your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Your word says that we are sons of God. Your word says if we believe and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Your word says that we should desire spiritual gifts or to be spiritual. And then, Father, we'll step into more of what you have for us. Like we showed this morning, Father, out of your word, that you desire for us to seek after prophecy, to desire to prophesy, so that we can move past ourselves into the realm of being able to minister even to others. I give you thanks for this tonight, that every believer in this place, yes, every believer, the signs will follow them. The signs of the kingdom will follow them. But we will not seek the signs. Father, we seek after you with all of our hearts. And you've placed your Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now we have fellowship with you. For did you not say in your word, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship, the communion, the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I pray this evening, Holy Spirit, that you will make yourself so real to every person in this place. That you will touch us, that you will speak to us, that you will show us things to come, that you will be our advocate, that you will be our companion. Holy Spirit, wonderful counselor. Thank you that you're here even now. Thank you that you're in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We honor you tonight, Lord. We will seek first your kingdom. We will, Lord. Your word says we should. So we choose to do it. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.